It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are both here smiling and just loving everything that has to do with the weather today because, oh my God, it is so beautiful out there. And I think you all should go out and do something at 11 o'clock because you're busy for the next hour. We know that. All right, to the regulars out there, thanks for always being there. We have very little left to do this year. We have today and next Saturday, and then the holidays fall on the Saturdays. So we will not be here on Christmas Day, and we will be running a rerun on January 1st because the studio is not open. So after today, one more. So if you got any questions that need to be answered or want to be answered this year in particular, there is no better time to call 904-222-8255. And you will be put on air immediately. If you have a question you don't want to talk about in person, you can message us at info@vanweefinancial.com. And Adam usually monitors that along the way. So there's various and sundry ways to do this, but we don't bite, and neither does the audience. So if you got something you want to talk about, just give us a call. I've got a lot of things on our mind today. It's always something around here. Of course, we're dealing with money, so money has to do with everybody, and there's a lot of action all the time. Politics weigh in, and this year in particular, in fact, today's show's brought to you by the letter I, which stands for inflation.
Yes, it is.
In fact, Howard was talking about that. For those of you who carried over from the real estate show, Howard was talking about the price of lumber, which we have tracked all year. If you remember, it spiked way, 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 way up.
Ridiculously high. You knew it wouldn't last.
Exactly. And it fell like a rock.
It did.
And then it's about halfway back now. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Adam. So anyway, I was just wondering about your thoughts about 2022. I saw, you know, Dan Niles on CNBC yesterday, and he was predicting a 20% correction. In part due to rising interest rates and what it'll do to stocks. But I'm more concerned about Ukraine, Russia, Taiwan, and maybe even Israel bombing Iran. I mean, this could have devastating consequences next year to our markets if we have three hot wars going on, or even one out of the three. What do you all think?
Name a year where we didn't face that kind of possibility the next year.
It feels a little more real right now.
It does. I agree with you. It's a question of degree.
I'm not, at this point, I'm very neutral on 2022. I could make a strong argument either way, good or bad, and I'm not sure what to think yet. So we're still developing our 2022 strategy, but I really don't think it's going to be as bullish as we were all this year. I think much more cautious would be the approach going into 2022.
One year we talked to all of our clients and said that if you want to, and that we always leave it up to them, we're taking about 10 or 20% out of equities and just stuffing it away in the money market until sometime next year. Do you remember what year that was, Adam?
Yeah, last year.
Was it?
Yeah, it was 2020 because of the election.
Yeah,
okay. It wasn't that we were worried that if Biden got elected, it would crash.
Right.
It was more around the contested election. If that had dragged on mm-hmm. for months and months, and that didn't end up happening, but it was a real risk going into November of last year.
Now, are we in the same mode this year?
Not yet.
I didn't think so yet.
But I am, Chuck, it's a great question.
It really is.
I am definitely nowhere near as bullish on 2022 as I was on 2021.
Right.
I feel like a 20% correction is definitely a possibility, not that it'll happen, but it absolutely could. It's been a while since we've seen one. It would not surprise me one bit.
Well, if it's 20, you got a bear, and in a bear, the usual drop, the average drop is about 28. A little background.
Did he drop or is he still there?
What do you think about Wednesday? I mean, do you think Powell's going to say, man, we got to start raising rates? And, you know, if you remember what happened in the fourth quarter of 2018, I know it's different, but he was overshooting back then. But, you know, do you think, what are your thoughts on the Fed on Wednesday?
I think he's going to taper a little faster.
I agree. I don't think he's going to hint at, well, I shouldn't say that. I think he might hint at interest rates next year, rise, interest rate hikes next year. But
they have to bring it up at least 5 or 6 times before
least,
they do it.
At just least.
To, they've got, the market's got to pre-plan for it or it'll overreact, and he knows that. And that's what he's been doing.
I still feel like he's going to err on the side of caution on rate hikes because I think
he got
that,
burned once.
Yeah, and I just think that it's too political, and the Democrats don't have a lot of wins this year, and if he gave them another loss, that would... His job would be, even though he just got renominated, I feel like his job would be as good as gone after that. So I feel like he's got to play this one more political than he would like to, and I don't think he can afford to say we're going to do rates and rate hikes in 2022 in those words, but he may hint at it.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for what to tell anyone. I understand totally how nervous people are. We are too, but it seems like every time we even think about doing something like that, for instance, when the pandemic started, we wind up not doing it and getting rewarded for not doing it.
Yeah.
The recent history, and by recent, I mean the last few years, it would say don't worry about it, but everybody's worried about it.
The really crazy thing is, Chuck, if we saw a 20% correction, we'd just be down to basically the market levels from the end of 2019, 2020, 2020. Yeah, we'd be about a year back. So it wouldn't be as devastating as it sounds.
There's one more
would
thing.
I like to see it? Absolutely not. But
One more thing to think about. Take a look at what the average stock has done recently. And it has not gone up.
I have that for the NASDAQ. That was one of my talking points today.
Okay. Listen to Adam's explanation. Even this has been the year of the indexer, and we are notorious indexers. So if you buy the index for NASDAQ or Dow or whatever, for the most part, you're outperforming the individual components. So unless you select carefully out of the Dow 30 or the NASDAQ 100, you are losing money. This is really a great year for diversification and indexing. Now, will that sort of buffer the blow if one of these things happens because the stocks are already down? I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. But I read about all of that this morning, and that's interesting. I don't know. I haven't formulated a plan just yet, I guess. And apparently Adam's the same way. So, don't know. What are you thinking?
I'm not sure. I'm like you guys. There's so many question marks.
All right. Well, let's talk again next week, because this week is going to bring the index or the options maturity
volatility.
Yeah, and it could be a rough and tumble week, and maybe we'll know a little more next week. Anyway, music's playing. I got to run. Thanks so much for the call, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon. Don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I'm very seldom stumped for words, but at least we know one thing for sure. It's not going to happen Monday.
Yeah.
And that's almost for sure.
I've got more on that topic. We'll talk after the break.
All right. Absolutely fine. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question as usual. And as usual, it's sponsored by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, residential or commercial, and he will probably be the one that picks up the phone. According to Northwestern Mutual, a company I've heard of, you probably have too, what percentage of Americans age 55 and up have no retirement savings nor a traditional pension plan? Note that this does not include Social Security because almost everybody has that.
Mm-hmm.
So either your own savings or your own pension. And it's between 1 and 100. So we really got it narrowed down already. All right. Market wrap, I guess. Like I said, there's so much to talk about. Friday, Adam and I were talking at the break. It was a surprise on Friday. Inflation number came out, and the market did not react poorly, even though it was a bad number.
Well, expectations. So, I mean, the average forecast was for an increase of 0.7%, and it came out at 0.8%. So, basically on target. I think that had it come out significantly higher than that, say 1% or higher, that you would have seen a negative reaction. But that wasn't the case. So, despite the huge inflation numbers, that made the last year up, 6.8%?
Yep.
And yeah,
the good highest news, in 39 years.
Good news on that, though, is commodity prices are trending lower right now. So we should start to see that 6.8 come down. But will it happen immediately? No.
Good morning, George.
Good morning.
How's things?
I'll take a guess on your question.
Sure.
55%.
55?
Right.
A little too high, I'm afraid, but
okay.
You got the idea. People love the brackets, you know.
Yeah. My question is,
yes.
I've got quite a bit of Comcast stock, and trending down. Do you know why?
Yeah, because the company's... Well, no, I won't finish that sentence. Ask anybody. It's not a popular place to be in the market right now.
Oh, really?
No. I think that they don't see it as the future of the broadcast arena.
No.
I think that there are too many new forms of media, internet-based media, that are available, that are up-and-comers, and it's eroding Comcast's once dominant market share in the industry. Yep. And I don't think that the market expects them to be able to recover from that in the long term. So if I had to guess, that would be why the stock is unpopular right now.
I should start getting out.
I don't make recommendations like that, and especially on air, but I tell you what, we don't own any.
Okay. Well, I couldn't find any news anywhere on it. So
I think it is a systemic thing. Count the number of cord cutters.
Yeah,
you know, Adam does
included.
Not have it.
And, yeah,
and we keep thinking about it. They've got our hands tied up so much. If there's one thing you like on Comcast, you have to buy 150 things that you don't care about.
Yeah, I know. I have it.
Yeah, a la carte. People are coming in with a much more of an a la carte type approach to what you watch on TV, and a lot of them have massive recording capabilities and really good quality. So I think it's just a tough environment for Comcast, giving them some credit anyway. But if they would come in and repackage their product where you could truly pick and choose, like the Liberty Mutual commercials, that you only pay for what you need.
Mm-hmm.
If Comcast would do that, it would really help their longevity, I believe. But I've been saying that for 50 years. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for the information. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thanks for the guests. The people with the brackets are going to love it.
Okay. Bye.
Good care. All right. Back to the markets.
Yeah. So it was a strange week.
It was.
I would say. It started off with a bang. All three indexes were up pretty big on Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday came around, and the interest rates and inflation started to creep into the picture. And when interest rate hikes look imminent, the NASDAQ tends to head south, and that's exactly what happened. We saw a big down day, but on Friday, despite that big CPI number, we saw the NASDAQ have a nice day and buying into the close. So who knows? It's tough to read the market right now. There's a lot of volatility. We regained a bunch of what we lost over the last 3 or 4 weeks this week. We saw the Dow manage a 4% gain. The NASDAQ was up 3.6% despite that big midweek loss. So just a strong week all around, but not without some volatility in the middle. Just a strange week. It's really tough to get a read on the market. And I think that if you go back to Chuck's question about what's going to happen next year, and you could probably hear that we were both struggling to answer what's going to happen next year. I think the market kind of feels the same way right now, because there you can cherry pick data and make a strong case for the market going up or the market going down next year.
11 million jobs open.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got rampant inflation, but you've got employment getting back to almost pre-pandemic levels.
First-time claims down to 1969 level.
You've got everything costs more, but people are making a lot more money than they were. So it's just everything is like a double-edged sword, and you can make an argument either way. And I really think the market feels the same. That's what I'm seeing in the patterns, or lack of patterns, I should say.
And that's why I'm still much more comfortable indexing, because one thing can happen that's really bad if you own it, and if you own it as a 1% of a fund, then who cares? So I'm not going to be picking and choosing these days, that's for sure.
Yeah, and this little blurb that I have written up about the NASDAQ will kind of emphasize that point, because despite all the good news from the main indexes this year, there's definitely weakness under the surface. Mm-hmm. The NASDAQ is sitting just under 4% from its all-time high, yet the average stock in the index is trading 39% beneath its 52-week high.
The question is how?
Yeah.
And one of the answers starts with A.
Yeah, Apple. Apple's really it's gone from 140 to the 170s over the last, 6 months, year. And it's really such a huge company that it keeps that index looking a lot better than a lot of the smaller stocks in the index. And there's a bunch of stocks on the index that have market caps that are less than $1 billion. So they really don't have a lot of weight. But it really highlights the concerns that investors are having around interest rate hikes on growth stocks, because you're looking at a bunch of these trading even more than 39% below their 52-week high. In some cases, like in the case of Peloton, they're over 80% from their 52-week high. And Tilray, Canopy Growth, and Robinhood are down more than 70% from their 52-week highs. So names like that are very recognizable names, but make up such a small percentage of the index, are really, really struggling right now. And a lot of that has to do with interest rate fears. So
yeah, I agree.
Something
I find Apple expensive when I just look at it as an individual thing. But I think I've been just nibbling away at the NASDAQ overall lately, because I keep looking at it, pull back a little bit and get in a little bit more. I think long term, you can't go far wrong with the NASDAQ.
Well, there's a lot of great names on there that are not going out of business.
Right.
And yes, interest rates will hurt their valuations, but will it make them struggle as companies as much as their stocks seem to indicate? Probably not. So it is something to look at right now. Another area that inflation has been hitting is home prices, and I think we're all pretty aware of that. Just this month, Case-Shiller released their index, and it shows that every city in the index has now surpassed their pre-housing bubble peak of pricing.
Even so, little old Chicago.
Good work, Chicago.
Yep,
you're now
you made
1%
it.
Higher
yep.
than you were in September of
in spite of themselves.
2007, I think. So if you look at some of the other cities, Denver is now 104% higher than its pre-bubble peak.
Wow.
Tampa's 28% higher. Miami's 16% higher. And the post-COVID boom, the biggest increase has been in Phoenix. It's up 45%. This is followed by San Diego and Tampa, which are both up 35%. And Miami's not far behind at 31%. The cities with the least price appreciation, and tell me if you can spot a trend here. Since COVID, the cities that are up the least in house prices are Chicago, New York, D.C., Minneapolis, Detroit, Cleveland, Los Angeles, Boston, Portland, and San Francisco. Do you see a trend in there?
I don't see anything. We're going to try something. Ron, good morning.
Yes, sir.
The music's playing already, which means we only have a minute. Can I put you on hold and catch you right after the break?
That'd be great. Thank you, sir.
All right, I appreciate it. All right, we're going to pay some more bills. Yeah, I think I did catch something in your sequencing there.
Yeah, and that's in order. Of the 20 cities, those are the least price appreciation cities in the country.
Wow.
In order.
It isn't desirability in terms of the climate.
No.
In fact, some of those.
Maybe Chicago. But.
Well, yeah. Chicago, we don't even talk about anymore. Now, yeah, I think the quality of life things that have to do with other than sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida's got it made. You know, everybody's talking about Florida. They all want to be Florida. They all want to live here. And who the heck could blame them?
I don't.
All right, we'll pick up the call right after the break and get back into the program. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I will remind everyone that our trivia question is still open. Americans age 55 and up, what percentage of them do not have any personal retirement savings nor a traditional pension plan? And we know that 55% is too high. Good morning, Ron. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you for having me on the air.
Sure. What's up?
Oh, I was going to take a shot at the trivia question, but before I do, I was going to make a prediction that 2 weeks from today will be the third time that you gentlemen won't be on the air since the inception of your program.
A loyal listener. So,
and
yeah.
You have a 100% minus one show chance of being exactly right.
Assuming we show up
tomorrow or next week. I
mean. Oh, yeah, we'll show up next weekend. But, yeah, that's right. I did want to actually announce that we will not be on the air for the Christmas holiday or the New Year's holiday. Right. I think on the Christmas holiday, I think they're going to play Christmas music on the station. That's not a done deal. And then on the New Year's holiday, I believe they're going to run a rerun of maybe of our next week's show. And I apologize for that. If we could be here, we would, but they are not going to allow it. They don't have anyone working that day. So
with that in mind, maybe I'll try to tailor next week's show to something that would be pertinent right after the first of the year.
Sure.
Changes in tax laws or anything that come around. So we'll make do, and then what would be the 8th, I guess, of January, we'll be right back in the saddle.
Well, you guys will be missed.
Oh, right? Thank you very much.
I understand. Yeah, it's not going to be the same. Saturday is not the same when I don't get to listen to you guys.
Music to our ears.
We will be back on the first, the second Saturday in January.
And in fact, then that'll give us 3 weeks to round out the end of our 7th year on air.
That's right.
How about that? It's
very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Time flies when having fun.
Amen.
All right. Do you want I'll take a guess?
Yeah, I'll get on with. Yeah, I was going to say like 30%.
All right. Now, what you've done is really established a bracket because that is too low, which is unfortunate, I might add. It's a scary thought, isn't it?
Well, more than.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than 30% of people have nothing saved for retirement.
Oof. Real scary. All right.
I'm not surprised, but thanks again. God bless you both, and have a great Christmas.
And we really appreciate you being there so much.
Oh, enjoy it tremendously, guys. Thanks again.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
All right. We're going to wrap up a little bit here.
The last thing I had from the market wrap was just that around commodities prices, even though they've been falling recently, that doesn't mean they haven't had a great year. They have. The number one commodity price increase for the year is coffee. It is up 81% in 2021. And natural gas is up over 52%. And oil, which has had a big year, is quote unquote only up 47%. Silver has lost the most ground. It's down over 16%. And that's followed by platinum and gold. So the precious metals have not fared as well as the rest of the commodities basket.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Speaking of coffee.
Some big moves, though, there.
Speaking of coffee, the Starbucks Corporation has three stores in Buffalo.
This. Yep.
And the unions have been after the Starbucks employees for a long time. So they finally got votes at the three stores in Buffalo. Two of them passed. And they're suing the other one for the election results, which when you're counting to a total of about 23 votes. And you're going to get that wrong? I don't.
That'd be really tough to mess up.
So anyway, they're going to be a couple of unionized Starbucks, which could start a real wave in the future My question is, if your coffee is made by a union employee, will it be better or just a lot more expensive?
Or served? No, never mind.
And, you know, it's bad when a company like that gets their first nibble of the union.
It's crazy because Starbucks, for love them or hate them, you know, the politics aside, right, they are actually amazingly good to their employees.
Yes, like they are
above and beyond. It's insane that they are trying to unionize that company, because I don't know what else Starbucks could do to keep people happy doing jobs that are not
paying for them going to college.
A lot of them are entry level jobs. That's just,
and paying them to upgrade their own lives.
They're making,
what,
like,
do you want, people?
15, 18, 20 bucks an hour in a lot of locations. I don't understand the desire to even unionize here. It doesn't make any sense.
No, I hope they all learn the term decertify, because in a year or so, they might be looking to do exactly
that. You never know. We'll see what happens. But that's an interesting story. Mm-hmm. I know that the unions have had their eye on that forever. So.
Yep. All right, I'm going to take a trip back in the Wayback Machine. Those of you my age will understand exactly what that is. I'm going to read, which I don't normally do, but I want to read you something that I wrote in a blog on August 29th, 2017, called Gold IRA at Home. You can't avoid seeing and hearing recent commercials pushing gold and silver, and skipping over a lot of this stuff, but the newest craze is the gold IRA, which is an individual retirement account with gold in it that they say can be kept in your house. Now, when you become a certified financial planner, as both of us are, one of the things you have to learn is what prohibited transactions there are in IRAs. One of them has always been precious metals. Can you have gold in an IRA? Yes, you can. That IRA has to have a custodian that's approved by the IRS, or it becomes a non-IRA. So why then did all these commercials start? That obviously was going on in 2017. Well, like I say, I'm not a CPA and I'm not a tax attorney, but I can read a lot of rules. But I could not find, you know, something had to change is what I'm trying to say, because when we were trained, you couldn't do this. So when they started advertising that, yes, you can do this, I started looking for a change. I could find no change anywhere. So whenever we have a client expressing an interest in owning precious metals, we prefer the electronic form. But if they want to have some, either keep them outside of the IRA, or they can pay extra for a custodian in which they can hold the gold or silver in their IRA. But we would never advocate crossing that line ever. Now, I like the ETFs because you can buy and sell them. So when gold goes down, you buy some more. And when it goes up, you sell some more and so on. But here's the close. Many people disagree with our very conservative view on this subject. But in the absence of a verifiable change with the IRS, we cannot advise people to have a home-based precious metals IRA. Fast forward.
So what year was that?
2017.
2017, we wrote that blog. And this
here it is, December 3rd, 2021.
December 3rd, yep. Yeah, of this year. And the first line, it's official. Owners of individual retirement accounts with assets invested in gold and silver coins can't store them in a safe at their house.
Period.
Done. And the reason that this happened, you're going to cringe when you hear the numbers on this case.
Oh, yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Andrew and Donna McNulty stored about $730,000 worth of IRA assets, meaning gold, in their safe at their house, and the gold was owned by their IRAs. And the IRS found out about it, said this is a no-no. The McNulty's went to tax court with this and got a ruling from the IRS on it.
That cost you minimum $10,000.
So at least they could pay for it, but now they're not going to be as wealthy as they once were.
They're not.
So they now owe taxes because it was deemed that those assets had been removed from the IRA. So they now owe taxes on the entire $730,000, which comes to about $270,000 in taxes plus $50,000 in penalties. So they're going to end up paying about 50% of their entire gold holdings to the government in the form of taxes and penalties.
And my question is, which one of those idiots did they listen to?
I don't know, but I would sue them if they got advice saying that that was okay. Ugh.
And the very last thing that we would ever say about something like this is, we told you so.
Yeah.
But we did.
It's true.
You know, sometimes you just got to know who to believe. And better yet, you'll be a lot better off if you know who not to believe. And whenever somebody comes along and they're hyping something like that, and you think it might sound too good to be true, well, guess what, folks? It's because it's too good to be true. All right, trivia question is still open. We're going to pay a few more bills one more time. We'll be back for the last segment. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have the trivia question still out there. What percentage of Americans age 55 and up have no retirement savings and no traditional pension? And maybe we're going to get another guess at this one from Marshall. Good morning.
Hey guys. How about 44?
44. Now, let's see. What do we want to call 44? We'd call that a little too low.
Okay.
Not bad, though. You've bracketed
it. I got a question for you.
Yep. Shoot.
Investor sentiment.
Yes.
It's one of those things that some people measure.
Yep.
And I'm wondering what y'all think of, you know, you went around the cities that have struggled, and we all kind of know where those regions are that have struggled. And many of us are very aware of just how much of a boom economy we are personally in here in Northeast Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And after a conversation I had with a neighbor commercial real estate agent, as he said, we're just starting because of all the people saying we want to come and put things in Northeast Florida.
Agreed.
Because it's better than the other parts of the country. So my question for y'all is this. Do we get a little too Pollyanna here on the economy, and maybe those in New York City and Chicago get a little too much negative? Or is it,
I think it's more, it's just reality, isn't it? Well, I wouldn't call it too this or too that, depending on where you are. I think it's just reality.
Marshall, I don't think so. I don't think New York and Chicago are truly struggling right now. The economy is actually stronger than people think it is right now because of the amount of jobs being created, the pay be available to people switching jobs or getting new jobs. The economy itself isn't struggling. Those cities might be struggling because of some bad policies put in place. They might be struggling on more social issues than economic issues. I don't think anyone, and especially in California, if you look at Northern California, there are $100,000 entry-level jobs everywhere. It's insane how strong the job creation has been in Silicon Valley and San Francisco. And while you might hear about the negative things on the news, most of those are social issues rather than economic issues. Now, long term, if people reject those social issues by moving to Texas, then yeah, that can cause economic problems. But short term, it's unlikely that those will cause economic problems.
I think I agree with that.
Gentlemen, if I don't get a chance to talk to you before, please have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And the same to you and yours, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, one way or the other.
Thanks, Marshall. Merry Christmas.
All right. We don't have much time between now and the end of the year.
We do not.
Probably a few things we should be doing, right?
Yeah, I made a quick list of about 10 of them. And things that you should think about if you haven't already done in 2021. The first one being make a traditional IRA contribution. So $6,000 or $7,000 might not seem like a lot of money, but a $6,000 deposit into a traditional IRA can save you $1,320 in taxes if you're in the 22% bracket. And that number can be even higher if you're in a higher tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So think about the other benefits besides saving for retirement of putting that $6,000 into an IRA.
Now, it's true you can put that off as far as next April 15th.
That's correct.
But that's not time in the market. And we win in investing by having time in the market, not timing the market.
Yeah, this isn't these ideas aren't necessarily capped at January 1st, but right. Things that you should think about towards the end of the year.
And this is the time when people should be thinking about.
Yeah. Second one is make a Roth IRA contribution. If you're in the 0, 10, or 12% tax bracket and have $6,000 in income in 2021, you should strongly consider a Roth IRA contribution of up to $6,000 or $7,000, depending how old you are. It's $7,000 if you're over age 50. The tax benefit of a traditional IRA contribution isn't worth as much to you if you're in the 12% or less bracket, so take advantage of the tax-free growth in the Roth for the long term. And I think we have another caller. We do.
Sure enough. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to take a shot at the trivia without burning time.
Sure.
42.5?
44 was too low. I'll give you another shot.
Oh, 44 was too low?
That's correct.
Yep.
Okay, 45.5.
45.5 is too low.
Too low. Ooh. Yeah. Okay, thrill of the hunt. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks right, so thanks. Much. I appreciate the call. Yeah, this is
another blinking. Oh, I think it's coming in. So okay. Yeah,
it's a sad commentary on America.
It is,
people.
It
we
is.
Know this. I'm taking a mental guess here. Who will be on the line now?
Okay. I'll just do number three while we're at it.
Sure, no problem.
Think about a backdoor Roth IRA. If you maxed out your 401k contributions and make too much money for a Roth contribution, consider a backdoor Roth IRA contribution. 2021 might be the last year this tool is available to you. So if the Build Back Better Act gets passed, this will be the last year for a backdoor Roth. Strongly consider it if you're capable of doing that. And if you have questions about that, you can call us.
It hasn't been ruled out yet, but all the signs are pointing to it.
Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Mary, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks. Shoot.
I was going to take a shot at the trivia, but I missed. I was on hold, I think, when that last guy gave his guess.
He guessed 45.5.
Oh, okay.
And it was too low.
I was going to guess 47.
47 is a number that we consider acceptable because the answer is 48, and I give a plus or minus one on it. So you are the winner.
All right.
And
great.
You know why else you're the winner?
Why?
Because I happen to know that you're not one of them.
You're not one of the 48.
Yes, no, I'm not.
All right, we've got your number. We'll see that we get something out for you. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you soon.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. All right.
Still on there.
Four.
Hasn't dropped off. Anyways, number four. Take your RMD. Custodians are busy and short-staffed this year, and boy, are they ever. Our levels have been awful at our custodian. So just make sure that you have taken any required minimum distributions from your IRAs if you're over age 72 in 2021. If you have an inherited IRA that is subject to an RMD, take that as well. Don't forget the tax penalty is crazy. It is 50% of the amount that was supposed to be removed, and they are not very forgiving if you do not take your RMD.
No, they are.
So take it.
I don't see a lot of these things being reversed. And they get the penalty and they might appeal it, but I don't see them being reversed.
Just don't take the chance.
Right.
You might get it after a long fight, but it's not worth the hassle. Just take the RMD.
Well, plus it puts you right on the IRS radar, a place none of us really enjoy being.
Exactly. Yeah. Consider a QCD or a qualified charitable distribution. Mm-hmm. If you have to take an RMD, but you don't need the money and you don't want to generate that taxable income, a QCD allows you to satisfy that RMD by donating directly to a charity from your IRA, and the donation does not hit you as taxable income. It's a great way to accomplish two goals, lower your taxable income and be charitable. So look at that. Number six.
And it takes a while to get those processed also.
It does. It does. I would have already submitted that if you're thinking about it, but get it in soon if you haven't done it already. Number six, if you're eligible for a 401k at your job, consider increasing your 401k withholding amount by 1% or more for the new year. The maximum you're allowed to contribute increased to $20,500 for 2021 for under age 50, so why not take advantage? It increases your retirement savings and gives you a nice tax break. It's kind of a twofer. Yep. Number seven.
You won't be one of the 48%ers.
The hardest part of any financial plan is setting a budget. Most people don't set or stick to a budget, so why not use the new year as an excuse to try one out? And I know I just used the B word, but don't be afraid. Get out there, figure out where your money's going, figure out where it should be going, and try to correct some of those spending behaviors that maybe aren't ideal.
And most credit card companies, for instance, will itemize a year-long spending thing and send it to you if you want. So that gives you a good start for where your money goes.
Here's one that it's not an alternative to budgeting, but it's another good thing that you could try. Set out a plan to tackle your debt instead of doing a budget. Open up a spreadsheet, list out your debts, put in the monthly payments, the interest rate, and then decide which one to tackle first. You might be surprised how easy it is to pay off one of those debts and then roll that payment up into your next debt. Before you know it, you'll be more addicted to getting rid of your debt than you are to accumulating it.
I've got a new one for next week on that one, too.
Okay.
You know the difference between snowball and avalanche?
No.
You will by next week.
Okay. Good deal. We got to get. No, I don't think I can get to
20 seconds. Okay, well, we'll try to wrap this up, and we will talk about snowballing and avalanching next week. They are both ways to get yourself out of multiple debts. And there's an interesting article by the best there is, Clark Howard. It explains a lot about it. So we'll see you next week for the last show of 2021 and beyond. This is the Vanway Financial Hour saying Merry Christmas.